In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today's Gospel reading, we hear the very first words of the New Testament. And what do we find there? What we find is how Christ is connected with the Old Testament. The Old Testament is a Christian book. This is what the church has always taught. It's not a book that's foreign to the church. It's not a book that we ignore. As a matter of fact, we find Christ throughout the Old Testament. The very first words of today's Gospel reading say, "The book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." And we find Christ's connection with David a recurring theme throughout the Gospels. As a matter of fact, even the very fact that he's referred to as Christ connects him with David, because David was an anointed king. And the prophecies about the Messiah were that there would be a new king who would come, a new anointed one, who would be like David in some respects, but that he would deliver his people. And so we see that David is a type of Christ. And what does that mean when we say that something is a type of something else? Well, you find these very words used by the New Testament writers when they talk about the Old Testament, so this is not something that someone thought up later. And this is the idea that in the Old Testament there are images that you have of things that come true or find their fulfillment in the New Testament. And David was an image of Christ in many respects. We also, in the Old Testament, though, when we read the history of David, find that there was an anointed king before David. And what the fathers tell us about that is that Saul was a type of the Israel of the Old Testament. Saul was anointed. He had some grace that had been given to him, but his kingdom was taken away from him because of his persistent disobedience, just as the kingdom was taken away from the Israelites ultimately in the church. In the New Testament, the people of God is not limited to the people of Israel, but is the new Israel, the church. The prophet Samuel anointed David as king. He did this in Bethlehem itself, with not a lot of witnesses to this, and so Saul was not aware that this had happened. But because of Saul's sin, God had allowed an evil spirit to trouble him. And Saul discovered that music was of some comfort to him, and he heard that David could play the harp and that he could sing well, and so he sent to David's father, and he asked that he be sent to the court. And not long after this, we read about the story of David and Goliath. And when I talk about the story of David and Goliath, the temptation that you're going to have is to have your eyes glaze over and to say, well, I know this story. This is the story, one of the stories that you probably heard when you were a very young child. And so we assume that we know it. But the fathers tell us that there is a spiritual significance to this story that you probably are not aware of. There are different levels of meaning in Scripture. And the fathers tell us that it's not that the literal historical meaning is not true. It certainly is true. These things actually happen. But there are deeper significances to many of these stories that they talk about that shed light on very important truths. In this occasion, we find the Philistines were encamped on one mountain, and the Israelites were encamped on another mountain, and there was a valley in between them. And every day, Goliath of Gath, who according to the Septuagint was about 7 feet high, a fierce warrior, well-armored, with shield, sword, and spear, would come out and he would defy the Israelites. The Israelites, on the other hand, were very poorly armored. Elsewhere in the book of 1 Samuel or 1 Kings, we find mention of the fact that at that time there were only 2 swords to be had among the Israelites. One Saul had and the other one his son Jonathan had. So the rest of the army didn't have proper swords. They had weapons that were made of wood, the kinds of things that poor people could make, essentially Stone Age weapons. And they were up against an army that was a very well disciplined, very well supplied, very well-trained army. And here you had this man that was huge, and this was at a time when strength of arms was what would carry the day when you were in a face-to-face battle with another soldier. The Israelites were scared to death, and although he challenged them, they would not come out. Goliath said that he would be the champion of the Philistines, and he asked if they would send out a champion. Now, the word for champion literally means a man that goes in the middle, a middleman, someone who's a mediator. Goliath was going to represent his army, and he was asking for someone to come and represent the army of the Israelites. And it says that Goliath stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and he said, "Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man, and let him come down to me, if he be able to fight with me and to kill me. Then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So the Israelites just sat there and they cowered. They were not going to take him up on this offer. And what the fathers say about this is that Saul, who represents the old law, was of himself unable to defeat Goliath, who represents the devil, death, and sin, and the Philistines, who represent the host of hell. But David, who is Christ, did take our place as our champion. We're told that he was indignant when he heard Goliath challenging God and his people. And then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and I smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing as he has defied the armies of the living God." David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." And then we're told in a somewhat comical scene that Saul tried to put his armor on David. Previously in this book, we're told that Saul himself was a fairly tall man and probably a lot taller than David, and so this armor didn't fit David. And so David said, "No, I can't use this armor. I haven't gotten used to this. Let me just go out as I normally would." And what the fathers tell us about this is that Christ did not establish his kingdom by human means, although there were many people that expected that to happen and wanted it to be so, even among his apostles. When they tried to arrest Christ in the garden, for example, we're told that Peter took up the sword and smote off one of the servants' ear that were trying to arrest Christ, and Christ said, "Put your sword back into its sheath. Don't you know that I could call 10,000 angels to come to my aid if I wanted to?" And he said to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." And so our faith does not advance at the edge of a sword. Our faith advances by love and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're told that David took up his staff in his hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and he put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy, of a fair countenance. And this is also, when you read the Gospels, a reaction that the powers that be had to Christ. They had no respect to him. They thought, "Who is this person? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? This guy, he's just a simple man. He's not anything of any account." But they were to learn something very different. It says, "And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest unto me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come unto thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." And he went on to basically promise Goliath that he was going to do to him the very same thing that he had just threatened to do to David. And then it says, "And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand into his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead. And the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and he smote the Philistine, and he slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And the Philistines saw their champion was dead, and they fled." What the fathers say about this is they note that Goliath is slain, his head is chopped off by his own sword, just as Christ trampled down death by death. Just as Christ won the victory by means that the devil and all the people that were opposed to him never could have imagined, David slew Goliath. And then we're told that the men of Israel and of Judah rose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shaarim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. Christ, having defeated the devil and death, has won the victory for us, just as David won it for the Israelites. They went from being unable to do anything, cowering, defeated, to suddenly being on the attack and winning the victory. And this is all because their champion, their mediator, went before them and won the victory and defeated Goliath. By faith in Christ, we also are able to win the victory over sin, the devil, and even death. We no longer cower in fear as we did before. We need no longer bear the reproach of the devil and his demons. We need no longer be defeated by sin. Christ has won the victory for us, and all we need to do is to go forward in the power of that victory and claim it for ourselves. Amen.